Vetera Livigne, Lyon, and Simone Especial in Marseille. I will try to detail some recursion relations that we have in spin for models, and the basic idea is to find some algebraic characterization of geometric properties. So first, I will introduce and discuss the 3D case, and then in a four-dimensional setting, which is the Uguri model. And then I will discuss quickly the case of the Barrett-Crane model, which is an old spin-form model. So we first have to remember what we want to do with spin-form models, because the basic idea is to provide a non-perturbative and background-independent framework to define the Bath interval for general relativity. So basically, you fix a metric on the boundary, which is QAB here, and the spin-form amplitude is supposed to give you a definition for Bath interval. And in particular, an important point is that the functional K of QAB projects onto the kernel of the diffeomorphism and connecting end constraints. So formally it is like this with an operator acting on K. And therefore we expect that spin-form models will implement somehow some versions of these constraints. So currently the status of spin-form models are like this. You have an amplitude which is built from a small amplitude that I call CB star, and there is a sum over all the triangulations of the bulk. And you can also see the sum as the sum over the number of simplices in the bulk, so this is why I call them B star. And the amplitude CB star comes, there are algebraic quantities coming from the representation of Lie groups, and it has been shown in the past year, especially by Conradi and Cradle, that you can see this amplitude is coming from Bath interval for some discrete geometries. And as a result, the boundary metrics takes discrete values, so this is an important point, and it allows to matching with spin networks and to define some transition amplitudes for spin networks. So now, if we want to find a relation between the constraints of the canonical theory and the spin forms, there are several approaches. One can look for a Hamiltonian operator acting on spin networks and try to implement it with spin forms. One can also try because the amplitude CB star comes from discrete geometries, one can also try to look for a Hamiltonian formulation of discrete geometries, and especially Rege calculus. So there has been a recent proposal for this, classically by Dietrich and Bach. They use some specific moves to define an evolution of the canonical surface, and these so-called tent moves allows, well, they really reflect the dynamics of the covariant action. And they have shown that the symmetries are generically broken by the discretization, in fact, and then we can restore them by some cross-graining process. And for us, an important point is the relations between cross-graining and backgrounding that I will tell you a bit in a moment. And otherwise, and this is what we have done, one can look for the equations satisfied by the amplitudes of the spin-form model directly. And it is natural because, as I told you, the boundary metric takes discrete values. So this is really natural in this case to look for different equations which arise from representations of Lie groups.
Can you say what do you mean by the equation satisfied by the quantum constituents?
By in the spin four models.
Yeah.
Typically, in if you want an example that I will detail, mm-hmm. In 3D, the Ponsano-Reggio model is built from CJ symbols of SU, and you can find some equations which enables to define the CJ symbol, mm-hmm. whose only solution is the CJ. So, what can we find? What kind of relations can we find in spin-four models? First, if we look at topological field theories, in this case, all triangulations of the bulk will contribute the same to the amplitude. So you project onto the kernel of the constraints with only one triangulation. And this topological invariance is encoded into some packing moves acting on the triangulation. And the invariance of the model under packing moves leads to recursion relations which characterize the model. So there are well-known relations in the 3D Ponsano-Reggio model, and we found some new relations for the so-called 15J symbols, which appear in 4D BF theory written with spin forms. Then the question is, what are the relations precisely to the classical constraints? So for this, it's important that we use packing moves because they are really geometric. They act on the triangulation. So we can see this way that the recursion comes from a translation of a vertex of the triangulation. So it gives a geometric picture. And we also found another method to derive recursion relations, acting with holonomy operators on spin network functionals. And this is really nice because this way we got recursions for any 3NJ invariant symbol. And we found an interpretation as some kind of quantum tenth moves within 3D gravity.
Tenth move.
I will tell a bit, but the idea that you have a 2D surface triangulated, and you want to define an evolution of this surface, so you can define some moves acting on the triangulation.
So the same as a 1-2-3 move, or
exactly.
But they're more general, no?
They're more general. You can define tenth moves with vertices which have an arbitrary valence. But then what happened for non-topological theories? In that case, different triangulation will give different contributions to the amplitude. And it has been shown that the symmetries are generically broken by the discretization. So the proposal, in particular in group field theory, is to sum over all triangulation. This way you get something which is triangulation independent, of course. And as an example of what can we do with such model, we have a toy model which is root quantum cosmology, because in that case you have a Hamiltonian variator which is well defined, and which turns out to be a difference operator. And so this is the first important point for us, and the second point that you can write the matrix elements of the evolution operator as a vertex expansion. So precisely, you have a sum over from m equals to 0 to infinity, and a m is an amplitude related to a history with m, with precisely m volume transition of the volume of space. So, and in fact, a m is built really from the matrix element of the Hamiltonian itself, and not of its exponential. So you can project onto the kernel of the operator with the exponential, but you can probe the matrix element of the Hamiltonian itself with just one coefficient of the exponential. And so this is what we can expect for a non-topological model by just looking at one triangulation and then try to probe the geometric structures of the model this way. And in fact, for some special CK symbols, we found a recursion which states the invariance of the model under a combination of Bachner moves, and not under Bachner moves themselves, but under a combination. And in the 4D, four-dimensional Barrett crane model, we find a recursion which probes the closure of the symplices. So this is a very basic property of a simplex, of a geometric simplex. And now we have a recursion relation for this property. And I will talk about renormalization later. So let us look more precisely at what happened in 3D. You know that if you just look at the two sphere, there is only one physical state which satisfies the flatness constraint. And if you look at a tetrahedron triangulating the two sphere and expand the physical state onto the spin network basis, then the coefficients of this expansion are the CJ symbol. So the CJ symbol are really the coefficients of the physical state written in the spin network basis. But then the question is, how can we characterize the CJ? So how can we extract the physical state from which equation? So the key point is the Biden-Hahn-Elliott identity, which states the invariance of the Ponzano-Reggio model under the 2-3 Bachner moves. This is an equation which relates the amplitude for two tetrahedra sharing a triangle and an amplitude for three tetrahedra with an internal edge here, which is labeled by the spin L. And to equate the two amplitudes, you have to sum over the internal spin. So an important point that this is dynamical criterion, because we have to sum over the internal spins. And in fact, you can derive recursion relations from this equation. And basically, the idea is that we choose some specific boundary data for the 2-3 pattern. And more precisely, you choose the spin between D and D, the point D and D prime, to be very small, to be 1/2 typically. So it looks like an elementary translation of the vertex, the triangulation. And on the other side of the move, it will... Oh, thanks. So here you have the point D and D prime, and you choose the spin labeling the edge between D and D prime to be 1/2 typically. And on the other side of the move, it will induce some shifts of the edges meeting at D. Now they meet at D prime, and K3 is slightly shifted with respect to J3. So it gives a geometric picture of the recursion relation. This is a recursion relation of all the two. And as I said, you have to sum over the internal spin here. Now we found another method to derive recursion relation, which is to act with a harmony operators on spin networks and with nice geometric implication. So basically, you consider the spin network functional, which is a function of six spins and six group elements. And you act with the character in the spin J representation along the dual triangle, the triangle which is the cycle around the point A, around the vertex A. And then you can use some standard recoupling theory and evaluate the equation on flat connections, which means take all the group elements to be one. And in fact, if you do it properly, you can see that you get the structure of the 1-4 Bachner move, ventricularized, because it is, this move is usually divergent, and the divergent comes from the fact that you act not with a character, but with a delta function around the vertex, and then evaluate that the identity diverges. But you can just regularize by choosing just one spin. And okay, the usual, very standard gauge fixing is to take just J equals zero, and that gives the identity true. And now we can apply this method more generically to a vertex with an arbitrary number of edges. So I have drawn the dual packet around the vertex, and then you act with a character in the spin J representation around the cycle, and use recoupling, and then evaluate on the identity. And at each node, you extract the CJ symbol, so the coefficients here are CJ symbol involving J. And the interesting point is when you look at this equation in the triangulation picture and not in the dual, because in that case, this is the left-hand side, and the right-hand side becomes precisely this. So from the initial vertex, you draw a 10 pole, that is an edge with of length J, and you create new edges relating the initial point here around. And so this is precisely the structure of a tent move. You have your initial hypersurface, like 2D surface like this, and then you make some evolution by using a temple of fixed length like this. So again, this is a recursion relation of order 2 when you choose J equals 1/2, and the coefficients are given by 6J. And an important question is whether we can extract the geometric content of these coefficients and relate them precisely to the classical constraints. Because we know very well the classical tensions.
What does it mean?
It means that you have a difference equation involving J plus 1/2 and J minus 1/2. So if you take some continuous limit, you get a differential equation of the second order. And another important point is that this kind of relations, this one, they apply to any Wigner 3 and J symbols. So this is a good relations which apply very generally. Next thing is to look at some four-dimensional analog. And in 4D, we also have a topological model close to 3D gravity, but in 4D, which is the Oguri model. And in that case, the basic simplex are not tetrahedra, but four simplexes. And you assign some SU spins to every triangles and intertwine this between representations to each tetrahedron. And then the amplitude of a four simplex consists in kind of the evaluation of a so-called 15J symbol. So this is the graph of the symbol. You have 10 spins on each link, and one intertwiner for each tetrahedron, which are here represented by the nodes of the graph. And you can build this model by also imposing some SU2 flatness around each triangle, the triangulation. That's why it's really similar to 3D. And this defines a topological invariant when it's finite, of course. So the topological invariance relies is based on the invariance in the back move. So we can look more precisely at the 2-4 back move. So which means that you have two four simplices glued together along a tetrahedron, which is drawn with blue edges. So this is the two side, and the side with four simplices is here. And basically, you have four simplices, and I draw in gray the four inner triangles. But the first problem that you face is that this must be divergent, because there are too many delta functions imposing flatness. So this is really easy to make it finite by removing one redundant delta function. And then if you want some recursion relation from this move, you have to do like with the Biden-Hahn-Elliott identity, that is to choose some specific pins on the boundary. And the natural thing is to take the point A and A prime to be very close, and which means algebraically to choose the spins labeling these two triangles to be zero, and then the spin labeling this triangle to be small, for typically 1/2 or 1. And so then we can say geometrically that A and A prime are very close, and this induces some shifts on the right hand side for the three triangles sharing the edge AD, which now becomes the edge A prime D, and the spins of the triangle sharing this edge are slightly shifted. So again, you get a recursion relations of order 2 for 15J symbol. And also, in fact, it also turns out to apply to any invariant symbols. So this is nice for a topological model. We have recursion relations, which really characterize, which really comes from the topological invariance of the model. But now for, let's look at the simplest non-topological model we know, which is the Barrett-Crane model. It was the first candidate for spin-4 model for quantum gravity. And to build the amplitude of the Barrett-Crane model, you need 10 spins, well, say, one spin for each triangle, just like in 4DDF. And now the intertwiner degrees of freedom are frozen. There's no intertwiner degrees of freedom. And so the 10 spins are supposed to be the quantum areas of the triangles. And you can build a 10J symbol by evaluating this kind of integrals, where chi of JAB is the character in the spin JAB implementation. And the interesting thing is that you can rewrite this amplitude as an integral over 10 spins. 10 angles, theta AB. But these 10 angles have to satisfy a constraint, which is the vanishing of the determinant of the gray matrix. And this is a well-known condition for geometry, that the 10 angles, so 10 angles satisfying these constraints can be the angles of a 4-simplex. There exists a 4-simplex with such 10 dihedral angles. And in fact, if you try to evaluate this integral using a saddle point analysis, you find that the corresponding areas on the saddle point are given by 2JAB. So the spin following the areas. And an important point is that there are also contributions coming from degenerate configurations, which are non-geometric configurations. And in fact, in the asymptotics, the scaling of the degenerate configurations is not the same, and they turn out to hide the geometric part of the asymptotics. This is one of the main problems about the frame model. And now, how can we get some recursion for this model? Basically, the idea is very simple. You insert the thing which is supposed to be zero because of the delta function here. We insert the determinant of the gray matrix into the integral and put it to zero. Then you have to work a bit to re-express all the thing in terms of a sum of NJ symbols with shifted spins. So you have to expand the determinant of the gray matrix explicitly. And now you get a recursion relation which is of order 4. The coefficients are trivial, so this is a nice thing. But then we turn back to the equation. And because we have inserted this thing, it's sure that it's related to the closure, the syntax. And in fact, we can see it more more precisely by looking at solutions of the recursion relations. And a natural candidate for a solution is, in fact, the Regge action for one four simplex as a function of the reals.
So the rejection in that case is 2jb plus 1 times the dihedral angles as a function of the spins and u sum over triangles.
But can you write down what is, I mean, suppose you take this equation, now you take the classical limit and then continue limit. So then you get a differential equation, which is an Hamiltonian constraint. So what is this constraint and can you understand its meaning?
It's not so clear. We have looking at the semantics, in fact, and also.
And now that you have the kernel operator, so you just look at this operator, which is H, and then you take the, you know, it becomes a differential operator.
Yeah, but it's not easy because there are 120 terms in the relation, because you expand the determinant of a 5x5 matrix. So it's not really easy to do this.
Even if you take the continuum limit, there's no simplification there.
Doesn't seem. But in fact, an interesting thing that you can classify the terms of this recursion and interpret. If you do that properly, you can interpret the different groups, of terms, as coming from combination of 2 to 4 patterns for 15 J symbols. Mm-hmm. But this is just picture because algebraically it's very complicated to relate 15 J symbols to 10 J symbols.
But at least in 3D you can do it.
Yeah.
So what is the Hamiltonian constraint you find?
In 3D?
Yes.
If I use this thing.
Well, that or the other better before. You say that you get an equation and then you want to. What is the classical
three
constraint you get?
In 3D, if you look at the kernel of identity and at the recursion relation you get from it, the constraint in the asymptotics, at least, the constraint is precisely. It says somehow that. The moments are conjugated to length are constrained to be the dihedral angles as function of the length. So in 3D there is a relation between the quantum thing and the quantum relation model and the canonical analysis classically. But this is some work in progress. And it is only in this
instance. So why would you expect this to become a Hamiltonian constraint? I mean, this is coming from the closed constraint. Would it become
a cross-constraint?
I
don't know if I expect it to be the Hamiltonian constraint.
It is a constraint on your own.
It is
a differential equation.
And in fact, an interesting point, we have computed the 1 to 5 Python moves for Bell-Cray model and asked whether this amplitude for 5 for simplices grouped together satisfies these constraints, and it is not the case. So we don't know how to relate it precisely to Hamiltonian constraints, but it probes the geometric properties of the amplitudes, and then you can try to, instead of computing all the higher orders in the GFT, you can just ask whether or not they satisfy this geometric property. But
so why doesn't I mean, if you find a constraint, it should survive the gluing, or you think it doesn't
survive? No, not from Parocker model, and the problem is always the same with this model, that you have no intertwined degrees of freedom, so you cannot glue properly the force implices along along the 3D boundaries.
So you get new constraints there.
So you need to, for this constraint to survive, you need to detail precisely what happens when you glue synthesis. And we expect it to be much better with the new spin for models. And in fact, you can also use this trick in the new spin for model to write an equation related to the closure. But the point is that you are not able to rewrite it as a sum of the initial amplitudes with shifted spins. So. But the geometric thing that the simplex is closed to is also correct. And then we, as I told you, the recursion relation is of order 4 now. And this is certainly related to the fact that there are different scalings in the asymptotics of the tangent. And for example, in 3D, both the geometric and non-geometric parts scale the same, and we get recursion of order 2. And in addition, Wien Hahn Elliott is satisfied by the Fruit 6J. But now for the tangent, we have different scalings, which lead to a higher order recursion. And we also looked at the toy model, which is the isocelic 6J symbols. That is, you do not take 6 different spins, but only 4, and you take opposite edges with the same length. So in this case, you have an integral representation for the isocelic symbol. And you can again rewrite it only in terms of angles, but angles satisfying the constraints. And this way you can also get a recursion relation. And the interesting point is that you can, because the CJ is fully determined by the Biden Hahn identity, you can try to derive this new recursion from the Biden Hahn identity. And what you see is that it encodes an invariance under a combination of back moves, more precisely doing twice the 2-3 back movement on different triangle. So, and not under an invariance which is not under the back moves. So, to summarize the results, we have in 3D and 4D theories on recursions, which comes from Python moves, and they are related to the dynamics because we have to sum over the internal spins. We found some nice geometric interpretation as a vertex translation, and also a relation with end moves, which has to be precise in the future. An interesting point would be to look for recursion relation from BF theory written in forms that in arbitrary dimensions, using Python moves, it certainly works, but it has never been done properly. And then for non-topological theories, you can probe the geometric meaning using a recursion relation, which gives you some algebraic equation for these properties. And to go further, we need more recursion relations, and particularly for the more realistic FKA, Friedel Krasnov, Rotary models, and for different triangulations. This could be very useful for example, to extract the asymptotic behavior of the model. This is the way it has been done in 3D by Schutten and Gordon some decades ago. very efficiently, more recently by Dupuy and Levin, to go to the next to Levin order and next to next to Levin order. So the recursion relations are very efficient for this. And it can also, it could also help in for the renormalization, because you may classify the country terms according to whether or not they will satisfy these constraints, this or this. And a very interesting thing could be to be able to expand the recursion relations at the level of group field theories, that is to the non-contributive level. And this way we will be sure that the recursion will hold at any order in the perturbation series. Okay, so please work to be known for this.
Good question. Okay, you mentioned maybe a couple times that these recursion relations were connected to dynamics because you were summing over internal spin.
Yeah.
Could you expand on that a little bit? I don't quite see why that's necessarily so.
Could you perhaps go back to the pictures and explain
maybe
a little more? Perhaps
you
can draw something. There should be some chalk there.
Fill some gaps in there.
The picture for the future tree move is like this. And so on the side of the where there are three tetrahedra, it has a net internal edge like this. And if you want to compute the constant radial amplitude for this configuration, you have to do some over the length, and this sum over the length imposes the flatness impose the fact that the deficit angle around the triangle around the edge is zero, in fact. So this is why it's related to that dynamics.
So that's the flatness condition, but why is that?
Yeah.
Why is that dynamics?
Because this is the Hamiltonian from 3D gravity is just.
Maybe you should write this Hamiltonian and make the statement of why this in what sense this recursion relation is related to the Hamiltonian. I'm not sure it was really clear from what you said.
In the continuous theory, the Hamiltonian is just the flatness constraints or. You have an SU2 connection, and the curvature f of the connection is zero. So when you discover this equation, the curvature becomes the deficit angle around the edges. So
in what sense the recursion relation is related to that? What's the relationship between the two?
Related to this because you get the recursion relation.
Maybe you can write down the recursion relation and see that.
Yes, here we have a two CJ symbol. One for, there's no internal edge here. So you have two CJ symbols, and to get the regression relation, you choose the spins labeling these edges, this edge to be very small, say 1/2. So then, on this side.
What type of equation do you get then?
Hmm?
What type of equation do you get?
Then I get here a CJ for the up tetrahedron, and the down, the tetrahedron. On the bottom is really simplified because there is a coefficient which is 1/2. So we know precisely this coefficient. So
can you write how it looks like first? Like
yeah.
No, the equation, not the drawing. Just
so So on the
it is a second order equation, maybe you should write that there's a shift.
Yeah.
The equation should
basically, we get, for example, J1 was on top, J2, J3, J4, and here you have some other shifts. And you get a recursion between these symbols and the initial CG. And the reason is that because we take this spin to be very, to be one half, here this edge is very small, so I can draw it again.
I guess the question is why, in what sense this equation there? So you have some coefficient equal to zero. Okay, what this equation has to do with f equal to zero? What is the relationship between this equation and the Hamiltonian constraint? Or some version of it. Or what is the, if you take the continuum limit or some classical limit, what is the Hamiltonian? Maybe what's not clear in your discussion is how you extract an Hamiltonian constraint from this equation. You should give the idea at least.
So, so if this is, for example, so when you discretize this thing, the constraints, the phase space, you can choose the variables of the phase space to be the length of the edges and the canonical model, let's say theta. And then this constraint is discretized, the discretization of this constraint is related to the fact that that the canonical momenta are precisely the dihedral angles as function of the length. And in fact, if you try to make quantization of this equation, you will have precisely the recursion relation on the asymmetries. Okay. So this is some work in progress, so it's not in the talk, but we are looking to a precise relation between the classical setting and importantly, the classical and canonical setting where you have constraints, and the recursion relation we got from the covariant path integral or spin form.
But the definite thing was about the sum of these angles, no?
In fact, when you have three variant vertices like this, you can rewrite the constraints like this. Because in fact, you can compute the 3D dihedral angle, the dihedron, from the 2D angles between the edges.
Mm-hmm.
You have three 2D angles and three 3D angles, so you can compute them. Yeah, the point is that to do this, we need some Hamiltonian formulation for discrete geometries, and this is not completely done yet. So that's why we decided to look at the equation satisfied by the spin form models, and then try to interpret them geometrically.
Very naive question. So, can you give an example of a simple model in which I can classically write f of a equal to zero, and then I discretize, and what is the equivalent constraint in terms of LE and theta E? Can you give an example?
What do you mean? Here?
I just want to see the form of the discretized Hamiltonian. In form of LE and theta for some
specialty.
Yeah, I mean, maybe you should, yeah, but it's not exactly that. It's going to be the cost, and how you go from there to the equation for the CGs. What is the, you know, and why this guy, exactly, what this guy is the difference equation.
Yeah, and okay, I can do it more precisely if you want. Then you have kind of a little pair here between the length and the momenta. The constraint is this, so you can look for wave functions, which are functions of the theta. The
so how is theta related to, so theta is extrinsic curvature? Or?
Yeah, it's well, initially it was just the momenta conjugated to length in the canonical setting. But the constraints, the Hamiltonian constraint, when you discretize it using these variables, turns out to say that the theta are really the Dirac-Kirov angles in commutative with the length. Okay. And then if you look at wave functions as functions of the momenta.
Well, you look at the spin network, so the J are not the theta, the J are the S. So the recursion relation are not.
Yeah, but the point is that you do Fourier transform.
So you look at psi of L1, L6.
Yeah, and because if you look at these constraints acting on this wave function, you would get a differential equation because theta is a continuous variable. But then if you take the Fourier transform, or if you use some generating function method, you get a difference equation for the Fourier mode of psi. And this this difference equation for the Fourier mode of psi is really the recursion relation we get from here, but actually in these instances.
So the discrete Hamiltonian Y cannot be written as the difference equation in L?
This is not clear because initially the L are just continuous variables. This is not.
But L and theta are conjugate, right? So then you are saying that when you took the Fourier modes and you had the theta representation, you got a discrete representation.
Yeah. You have read this function as a function of L. Cos theta is just psi of L plus 1 plus psi of L minus 1.
Yeah.
So you don't have to, so it's directly a difference equation.
Yeah, because here the sine of theta, you know, the shifts of the mode. And this is going to be some coefficients where L is replaced by the Fourier mode, basically. And then you can solve, well, in fact, this is precisely the recursion relation for the CJ symbol in this. Okay.
Okay, if there are no other questions, thank you again.